We are in week three of this month of Thanksgiving. So we've been talking now for 3 weeks on being thankful, having gratitude. And we started this series with this statement, with this thought that on our own, with our own power, we're always going to make this journey of life more difficult. But if we're following God's plan for our life, if we're following God's purpose for our life, no matter our circumstances, we'll always have something to be thankful for. And that was kind of the premise of week one, this idea that it is God's will for us to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." That we would be thankful in all circumstances because that's God's will for our life. And so if we're following God's plan, then we will always have a reason to be thankful. But on our own, we're going to make things more difficult. And we ask the question, then how do I know that I'm following God's plan? How do I know that I'm actually in the will of God and I'm following His purpose? How do I know that? Well, the reality is that I believe, according to Scripture, according to Proverbs, that if we're trying follow God's plan, if we're trying to please God, if we're trying to find His purpose in our life, He's not going to let us venture too far from His path. That's what Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says. It says we should trust God, trust the Lord with all of our heart, and don't depend on our own understanding. Verse 6 says that if we seek His will with all that we are, then He's going to do what? He's going to show us which path to take. He's not going to let us venture too far. I do believe God has a sense of humor. I do believe there is some sense of sarcasm there, I hope, because He gave me a lot of it. I overflow with it and a lot of times. And I do think there is some sense of humor. I think that at times He gathers the angel and He's like, watch this. He's really going to blow it this time. Come watch. And you know, He's like, hey, check this out. This is going to be funny. I do think He allows us to stumble, but I don't think He'll ever let us get too far from where He wants us to be. If our goal, if our heart's desire is to seek Him and to find Him and to follow Him, He's going to keep us on task. And so last week we talked, the first week we talked about this idea that we should be thankful in all circumstances and that we should trust God. And if we're following His plan, we'll always have something to be thankful for. And last week we talked about the idea that our level of gratitude in life, our level of thankfulness, what it reveals about us is how we really feel about God. How much we really trust God. Because if I believe that God has a plan for my life and He's ordered my steps and numbered my days and counted the hairs on my head, then no matter where I am in life, I can say, God, thank you for a plan in my life. But when I start dealing with frustration and anger and impatience and worry, and this idea that I have to be in control, what it reveals is that maybe, just maybe, we don't feel like we're in very capable hands. Maybe, just maybe, this God that we say we trust isn't really capable of ordering my steps and numbering my days and guiding my path. And we start dealing with frustration. It reveals how we really feel about God. So our level of gratitude exposes that. And the way we can test that is by how often we're grateful. And we talk things in our life that we take for granted, like life jackets and fire extinguishers and smoke detectors and flashlights and toilet paper, right? And sometimes God has blessed us daily with new mercy, new grace, with breath. There's daily blessings we wake up to every day that we just take for granted, or we think we're entitled to them, and we're not. And we need to say thank you every day, and we need to really check our level of gratitude that we don't start taking God's forgiveness and God's mercy and God's provision in our life for granted. Or we all of a sudden, when we lose them, then all of a sudden we miss them and we're thankful for them. And we need to be cautious of that. So we've been talking about this idea of if you ever go into preaching, I hope none of you ever have to, I can tell you it's the last thing. I've said that two different services now, and everybody's laughed. This is the last thing that I had planned on being and doing. But here we are. But if you ever go into preaching, be careful. Somebody told me a long time ago that was mentoring me when I first started in ministry. They said, be careful what you preach on, because God will eventually test you on it. That happened this week, right? That's what this week was for me. We've been talking about this big picture, this big broad stroke of thankfulness and gratitude. And I've stood from the pulpit and read verses to you that are true and given insight to you that is true, that we should always be thankful in every circumstance. And I left last week, and we all left last week, and I said, wake up tomorrow morning and every day, and if nothing else, say, God, thank you for your new mercies and your new grace. And we all high-fived and we all left. And what a great sermon, and what a great day. And then Monday came, right? And then Monday, the reality kicked in. This is how my week started. I can admit my faults. You can laugh at me. I realize you laugh at me. But Monday morning, 5:45, I needed to spend time with God and the deer. And so I set up on Monday morning, and I set up 5:45, got in, it's dark. 6 a.m., I promise you, and everybody has a big fish or a big deer story, something was moving around underneath me. All I could see was a silhouette of something that was enormous. That's all I can tell you. I don't know what it was. I can never catch and count points and all that. That's what everybody wants to know. I don't know. I just know it was huge, and it was dark, and I couldn't legally shoot it. I did think about turning my headlamp on a few times. I did not. And even if I would have, I would not podcast it if I did, right? I wouldn't put it on the internet. And so I'm watching it, and I'm going, just stay there. Just give me, like, just stay there. Just 20 minutes. You know what he did about 2 minutes before the sun came up? Headed right out. And I was like, there it went. 45 minutes texting people, texting Jeremy. Man, I saw something huge. And it walked away. And he's like, just sit tight. Maybe it'll come back in. That's what we all say to each other. And really what we're saying is like, yes, you didn't get one. And maybe he'll come to my stand, right? That's what we're hoping. And so about 45 minutes later, another one came in. Wasn't the same thing, but another one came in. And it was beautiful. And I was like, this is it. The Lord, God, I am thankful. I am so thankful. I have so much gratitude right now. And I was sitting there with my compound bow, and it's about 6:45, and I'm sitting there and I'm going, this is why the Lord loves me, because he's about to let this happen. I'm already thinking up my speech of which wall he's going to hang on in my house. That's the process I'm going through in my head, because I can't miss from this distance. He would never move in. He stayed behind trees. He gave me a gap of about a foot and a half, and I thought, I got this. Anybody else ever been in the stand and thought you were Robin Hood? Or, right, like you, and some of y'all laugh, you've never been in the stand. That's fine. But all of a sudden, I'm Robin Hood. And I'm like, I got this. Foot and a half, no problem. And he puts his head down to eat, and I drew back. And right as I thought I had the shot, he takes one step forward. And as he takes the step forward, not thinking, I went with him. And when I pulled and let the arrow go, I heard the loudest whack I've ever heard, and I thought, that was awesome. I just exploded a deer with an arrow. Wow, I am amazing. And then he picked his head up and slowly walked out, and I was like, okay, didn't hit him. Hit something hard, couldn't tell what until the sun came up. And there, that one of those trees I was trying to shoot between, right there sat my arrow. And it's still there. I've left it there as a reminder of patience. So I still get to look at it every time I'm out there. And there sit those green fletchings hanging out of the tree about 8 foot up. And that's how my Monday started. And the day didn't get much better, and Tuesday wasn't much better, and Wednesday wasn't. And the whole week just kind of seemed like it was founded off of things that were hard to be thankful for. And the whole day I'm wanting to text and be mad, and I laid down Monday night to go to sleep, and you know what I saw? The deer laughing at me. Like, I dreamed about it all night. Like, ha-ha, you hit a tree, dummy. You know, like, and I'm having this moment, right? But all I could think about and reflect on was these scriptures I've been studying and teaching for 2 weeks. That it is God's will for us to be thankful in all circumstances, and God directs my steps. That He had grace on the deer, not me, right? Like that's all I can think about is, okay, God, if you're path, if you're setting me up, then I have to be thankful. But I didn't want to be, because my week made it easy for that to happen. It seemed like every day there was something that would cause me to be the opposite of thankful. And this is life, isn't it? So be careful what we preach on, but be careful what you hear too, and what you read and what you try to attempt, because there is an enemy that wants to shut you down and take you out. And so there's this reality that being thankful, the thought of it is great, isn't it? Here's what's hit me this week, is that being thankful is not an emotion. Being thankful is really not even an attitude. Being thankful and giving thanks, it's an action. It's something that we have to exercise. It's something we have to practice. It's something we have to participate in. And a lot of times when we talk about things like being thankful and worshiping God and finding joy in the midst of our circumstances, what we were looking for is the emotional response that comes from the result. What we like is when the result happens, there's this emotional peace and this emotional happiness that comes along with a result, and we go, yeah, I like that. It's like when you watch the weight loss stories on TV, right? You all feel like I do. You go, ooh, I want that. So you're like, I'm so happy I'm wearing from high school. And I'm like, that's what I want to do, is wear my bikini from high school. You know, like that's what I want to do. I want to wear my, I know, oh no, right? I wish I could still fit in my clothes from high school. I wish everything would be good because it feels good, doesn't it? When you get healthy, everybody's ever lost weight or gotten healthy, and all of a sudden you like it's like, hey man, that the emotional response that comes with the result is a good thing. Shoot, man, I feel good after I've had the stomach bug for a week. You know, everything fits a little bit better. I'm like, hey baby, check me out. You know, I'm looking good. I got a little room in there because there's this emotional response that comes with a result. And a lot of times when we talk about thankfulness or joy in the Lord or worshiping God in all circumstances, what we're looking for is the emotional result, but we're not willing to put forth the effort to get the result. We got the emotional response. We don't want to work towards the result. And I think a lot of times we approach God the same way we approach exercise and health. Is that, okay, God, give me that emotional feeling again. I mean, we don't really want to worship God in the mundane and in the difficult, do we? What we want to do is, like, we want the band to play the right song or hear the right song on the radio and go, and it stirs us. We didn't have to do any work. It just stirred us. Heard that song, made me cry. That's the emotional response to the result, right? But you didn't do the work. They did. And a lot of times, we don't want to go find God in the details. What we want God to do is take us to the mountaintop. We want to wait until the miracle. We want to wait until the mountaintop. And he wants to, you lift me up, God. And then there's this emotion that comes with the mountaintop. But I don't want to go find God. Or maybe even more difficult. This part's almost over, I promise. If it hurts, I'll be done with this part in a minute. But it's necessary to establish the foundation. This idea that maybe we don't even like the whole Bible. I don't want to read the whole Bible. Those stories of hurt and sacrifice and death and pain, I don't want to read about that. Josh, you give me the catchy, encouraging verses. I'll take those. I want to read those. I want the ones that are bumper sticker worthy, right? I don't want the whole Bible. I want the catchy ones. I want the encouraging ones. And what we want is one with the emotional response that comes with the result. We just don't want to put forth the effort to attain the result. And so a lot of times we treat worship that way, but man, worship is an action. And joy is an action. And thankfulness is an action. And in order to do action and to be active, we've got to exercise those muscles to get there. I've done two triathlons this summer. About June, somebody said, what do you think about doing the triathlon? Was it about June, David? And I said, what about no? Two reasons. Number one, I haven't done any exercise between now and there's no way I'm ready for the triathlon in a month. And number two, you really don't want to see me in spandex right now. That second response got everybody to quit asking, and I was good, right? You're right. We don't want to see you in spandex right now. It's never pretty. It would have been really bad then. Because there was no action. There was no preparation for this result. There was no way we could have done the triathlon this summer. Couldn't have done it. There's a group talking about doing a half marathon in March. I've got to start now to change the way I eat and the way my schedule works in order to start jogging and running. Just the thought of it hurts. But if I don't start preparing for, then there'll be no result come March. And this is how our thankfulness is. This is about having that gratitude in life. We give thanks and we show thankfulness. We've got to be active, and so we've got to go and get that. So today, here's what I want to do. I want us to give three real practical steps. If you know me and you know Awestruck, you realize this is not that normal for me. Like, this is as close to a real sermon as I'll preach at Awestruck. I've got opening, 3 points, and a closing, right? I just need a poem. I'm good. I know, right? I didn't go to seminary, and it might be the best or the worst thing that ever happened to me to learn how to teach real sermons. But the reality is that, like, as I'm reading through in this week, I was thinking, what are some practical steps to being more thankful? What are some practical steps to having gratitude? Because life is not going to guide me there. My daily schedule is not going to guide me there. What's the practical step? I've been reading through the book of Colossians, and the book of Colossians is an incredible letter. There's all this explanation. There's so much theology in it, so much history and so much theology. And Paul is writing to this, to the church of Colossae or Colossae. I told both services, my redneck gets in the way of speaking good Greek and Hebrew. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's C-O-L-O-S-S-A-E. And that's where this place is located. And Paul's writing a letter to this church that he started there. We'll just call it the book of Colossians. And he's writing this letter to them. And he always had a theme to every letter. He always had a purpose for every letter to every church that he started when he wrote the letter. Some were facing physical harm. Some were facing different situations and threats. This church is not facing physical harm. They're facing spiritual threats. Here's the spiritual threat. According to the historical study of this church in this area, the threat is this. They've come to Christ. Paul has left them with incredible teachers about the gospel and about scripture. But what's happened is from the outside, there's a Jewish group, and then there's a pagan group, and there's all these different outside beliefs that are starting to somehow intertwine themselves into the church. And they're starting to teach different things, that Jesus is good, but you need this for this situation. And Jesus is good, and I'm glad you have salvation, but what you're really going to do is focus on this or use this for this situation. And to the point that they were actually buying, and there was a market in the church for magical amulets to ward off evil spirits. They were into witchcraft and magic, and then they were coming back to their roots with their Jewish heritage. And all of a sudden, we start seeing this false doctrine being taught. We see this false doctrine being taught into this church. So Paul writes a letter. He writes a letter to remind them that there's one source of salvation. It's Jesus. And he writes a letter, and this is the theme you see through Colossians. There's one source of joy, and it's Jesus. There's one source of protection, it's Jesus. There's one source of hope, and there's one source of guidance, and it's Jesus. And he's telling them, hey, theologically, we've got the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit all in this book. Historically, we've got everything. This is an incredible letter that Paul wrote. But throughout this, there's this theme that in all things, we should be thankful. And as he's writing this, and I'm reading through the book of Colossians, I realize Paul's giving a practical how-to guide on how to be thankful, how to have gratitude. And so I want to use three steps that Paul uses. And I think it's neat, he actually opens the book by talking about how thankful he is for them. In Colossians chapter 1, I think it's in verse 3. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, "We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. And you've had this expectation ever since you heard the truth of the good news." I want to focus on three things, because Paul's instructing them, this church in the book of Colossians, that he was teaching them how to be thankful in all situations, how to be grateful in all of God's purposes. An intro here in Colossians 1, verse 11 and 12, says, "We also pray that you be strengthened with all of his glorious power, so that you will have the endurance and patience you need, that you will be filled with joy, and always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light." Paul's prayer, Paul's instruction, is so that you would be full of joy and always thanking God. I think this is fitting for our practical week of how do I become more thankful? How am I full of more gratitude? The first one is this. First thing Paul gives us is this, and in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. I highly encourage you to read the entire book of Colossians. It's an incredible book, but I'm going to jump from chapter to chapter and look at some practical things Paul taught. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." Number one is we must be rooted in Christ and not in ourselves. I realize this seems simple enough. It seems basic enough. It seems like, hey man, I get that, and I kind of, you probably could have guessed that I was going to say something similar to that. But I think it's important that we understand that growing closer to God is crucial to our life of gratitude, to our life of being thankful. We've got to, and you don't get there by accident. I think that's why it's important that we discuss it and why Paul writes it, because you're not going to just happen upon a closer relationship with God. You're not just going to happen upon and accidentally fall into being more thankful. We must do something every day in order to grow closer to God. We've said before at this church, you're either growing closer to God or growing farther away from Him. It's your choice. There is no middle ground. You're either growing closer to Him or moving farther away from Him. You're walking in one direction or the other. And every day there must be this sense of urgency to grow closer to God. Are you spending time in His Word? Are you spending time with Him? Are you spending time with your family and teaching them how to be closer to God? How are you treating other people? Are you listening to God or telling Him what you're going to do? So there's got to be this time that's spent daily to grow closer to God, or else you're growing further away from Him. I think the sad thing is a lot of people know more about the walking dead than they do Scripture. I mean, this is the world we live in. That there are people who know more about, they're more addicted to and spend more time in their favorite TV show than they do in the Word. And then they wonder why they're not grateful. Because all they see is zombies when they sleep. Right? We wonder, like, why is it that I'm not grateful? What are we rooted in? That's the question you have to ask. What am I rooted in? Human nature, I would be able to guess for most of you, you're rooted in yourself. It is not the natural state of humankind, and that qualifies 99% of you in this room to be human. That was a joke, and I'll take that out of the next sermon. I'm sorry. That 99% of you in this room are human, and so the reality is that the natural state of humankind is to think about yourself. It's not to seek God. It's not to seek others. It's to seek me. There's a natural state of selfishness that drives you. You don't have to learn it. Nobody taught it to you. There are babies, right? When babies are born, babies naturally think of who? Right. They don't care that it's 3 a.m. and you're trying to sleep, do they? They're hungry, and they're going to cry until you fulfill, Tyler. He's going to cry until you give him a bottle, right? Or until Holly gets up and feeds him. The baby doesn't care about you. And nobody, you didn't teach that baby. How old was Marshall? 3 weeks? Have you taught him to be selfish? He just came out that way, didn't he? Right? I mean, babies are naturally selfish. It's all about me. It's all about what I want. And so when I say we need to grow closer to God, when we need to be rooted in Christ, it means we have to put forth the effort, because otherwise naturally we'll be rooted in ourself. And I want to tell you something, and you know this, but personal gain and selfishness are terrible foundations for thankfulness. You know why? You'll never be satisfied. It'll never be good enough and big enough and awesome enough. It never will be. Because the reality is that personal gain and personal selfishness are terrible foundations for thankfulness, because nothing will ever satisfy you. And Paul says, move away from you and get focused on God. He says, let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Let Jesus be the foundation. When we grow our roots down into Christ, we let our roots go deep into Christ, then thankfulness grows. If you let your roots grow deep into your own desires and wishes and selfishness into yourself, guess what grows? Nothing. You'll just keep digging deeper roots. So we need to be rooted in Christ, not ourselves. Number two, in our practical exercise plan of how to be more thankful is this. Number two is Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Ouch, right? Forgive anyone who offends you. Ouch, right? Remember, the Lord forgave you, and you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be... Thank you. Always be thankful. I mean, it says that we're to have kindness, humility, gentleness. We make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the people who offend you, because God forgave you. Number two is this: we have to live at peace with others. Now, understand, your relationship with God is a source of thankfulness, but also, you can't ignore this one, your relationship with other people is also a source of your thankfulness. And Scripture tells us that when we're founded in Christ, then we'll have the ability to love and forgive and show mercy to and get along with other people. This is a source of thankfulness. The relationships you have with other people affect your gratitude. There are people in my life, you may or may not have them, they have one purpose. There are people in my life that have, I am convinced, have one purpose. I don't know who put them there, whether it was good or evil that put them there, but they have one purpose. And it is to suck every ounce of joy that I seem to have inside of me. I call them joy suckers. Not to their face. But when I hang up or they walk away, I do. I hang up. Hey, it's good talking to you too. It's great. Yeah, okay. I hope you have a good week. And I'm emotionally drained because they've leached themselves to me and sucked me dry. And they're like, hey, thanks for listening. You're welcome. Bye. Click. Joy sucker. You know, like, I'm done. They walk away and I'm like, and I'll tell you, how was your morning? I had coffee with a joy sucker. Right? Like, you have that purpose. You have that purpose in, you have that person in your life. That person exists in your life who you feel like their one main goal, the reason they're in your life, is to suck your joy. Now, let me explain something to you. Most of you just thought of a name, didn't you? Or looked at your husband, right? Like, most of you just thought of that person who sucks your joy. If, hear me this morning, if nobody came to mind and you can't think of the person in your life that sucks your joy, yeah, you're that person. That was worth your cost of admission this morning to hear that. If you can't think of your joy sucker, you're that person. So let me just leave you with this. Stop sucking people's joy. And here's, hear me, there are just people in life that will just leech themselves and attach and suck you dry. And that's their, it seems like it's their whole purpose. Are y'all with me? And here's something I want you to hear. This, Paul said, live at peace with everyone. Because my relationship, both with those who fill me up and those who suck me dry, my relationship to them is a source of my thankfulness. And I had a college professor, I was a human resource management major in college. I thought that's what I'd do is be in the corporate world, but they wouldn't let me grow a beard, so I'm pastoring. Right? And so they, in college, I remember sitting through it, and the professor looked at us and he said, no one on this planet can make you mad. Do you agree or disagree? And we spent, all of us really intelligent 18-year-olds, right? Like, we knew it all. I was 19, man. I knew it all. And I was teaching, we're going to teach the professor something. And we give all our responses. Well, you don't know this person. You weren't driving with me this morning when this person did this. And you don't know what these people did. And you don't know what my job did. And he then went on to explain. He said, is everybody done? And we said, yes. He said, here's what I want you to know. No person on this earth can make you mad. They react. They have actions. And then you get to choose how you react. See, no one can reach inside of me and hit my mad button. Nobody can reach inside of me and grab my angry handle. Yeah, I got him that time. I made him angry. Nobody on this earth can make you mad. Nobody on this earth can make you upset. Nobody on this earth can make you happy. People do something, and then you get to choose how you'll respond. The reality is, I can't fix what you say. I can't fix what other people do to me or for me. But I can choose how I respond to that. And so we've got to go into every conversation, every interaction with people. We go into it consciously, understanding that no one can make me mad. I have a choice as to how I respond when other people act. Paul spoke to this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. He said, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Verse 6, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you'll have the right response for everyone. Joy suckers want to steal your happiness and your thankfulness, but we can respond in the right way. When we live at peace with others, it's a practical exercise in just being thankful. It doesn't come natural to me. It's not an easy thing for me to live at peace with everybody. I'm too honest. People don't like that. I'm openly, I'm I can be kind of a jerk. It happens, but thank the Lord I'm a jerk for Jesus, amen? I'm a jerk, and it happens. I realize I can be kind of rude. Some of you call me when you want me to go talk to other people because you know I'll be a jerk, and I'll say what you were thinking. You're welcome, right? Like, that's my role. I realize this is difficult for me, and it's difficult for a lot of us. It's difficult for most people, but when we live at peace with others, we find a source of thankfulness. And then finally, the third one, it's just real short. It's a very short verse, but maybe the most important one. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer, listen, with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Number one was this, is that we need to be rooted in Christ, not ourselves. Number two is that we need to live at peace with others. Our relationship with God and our relationship are a source of our thankfulness or lack thereof. But number three is that we don't need to just pray. We need to pray with focus. We don't need to waste our time on wasted prayers. And let me help you understand what I mean. I don't think I see my problems the same way God sees my problems. I tend to approach prayer on a bad day. I tend to approach prayer with the attitude that God, everything in life needs fixing. Everything is terrible. Please come through and fix it. I tell God how terrible it is. And then I realize after it's all resolved and it's over and it's dealt with, God probably doesn't see my prayer request the same way I see my prayer request. I waste a lot of time telling God how terrible it is. I waste a lot of time explaining to God how bad the situation really is. And I realize God doesn't see my prayer request the same way. This verse doesn't just say, hey, everybody, pray more. It says we need to pray with an alert mind and a thankful heart. And that when I approach God, instead of wasting my time on wasted prayers, that I would come with a thankful heart and an alert mind. Wouldn't it change everything? It's if instead of coming to God and go, God, that you know, everything at our house is terrible and the family situation and we need to pray for that and God help with this and help with my job situation and complaining and telling him how bad it is. What if you approach prayer like this? What if you walked in and said, God, I don't understand why the family situation is what it is. And I don't understand why the work situation is what it is. And I don't understand why the marriage situation is what it is. And I don't understand why our financial situation is what it is. But I am thankful that you've allowed me to live through it, and I pray that you resolve it if it's your will, and that you teach me what I'm supposed to learn quickly so I can get through it. Well, it changes everything, doesn't it? It's the same request. It just changes everything because we changed our words. And isn't it funny how, like, when you change your words, like, have you ever had somebody arguing at you and yelling at you and fussing at you? Then you just, all you got to do is just change your volume and watch them come down. Am I the only one that has people yelling at me? Like, it's just, it's fine. It happens. You work at the DMV. You get it every day, right? Like, yeah, right? But you just change your volume. When they get up here, you just bring yours down here and watch them. They'll come with you. And sometimes when we change our volume, a lot of times we just change our words. It'll change our whole attitude about things. And then Paul says, come with a thankful heart. Come with an alert mind. Come with a thankful heart that when we pray, we don't need to waste our time on wasted prayers. But what we need to do is we need to come to God with our mind focused and our heart thankful. Because if you trust that God has measured and numbered your days and he's got a plan, then I can be thankful for the circumstances no matter what. This is the will of God for those who follow Christ Jesus. We started this thing by saying that we always want the emotional feeling that comes with the result, right? We all agree with that. I mean, there's a certain emotional feeling that comes with the result, but the reality is that most of us don't want to put in the work to gain the result. And we bring that same attitude to this idea of being thankful. So I can paint the big picture. We can all agree that we should be more thankful. My prayer, though, is that kind of looking at it more practically for myself, for all of us, is that we would walk out of here not just realizing we need to be more thankful, but taking these three things that Paul's laid out for us and actually working towards being more thankful, working on having more gratitude. I mean, here's the thing, is that thankfulness doesn't happen by accident. And sadly, it doesn't happen by listening to sermons either. I wish it did. I wish there was a, I could go to the Bible bookstore and buy the magic preaching pixie dust and sprinkle it, and you go, yes, I've heard it, and now I'm rooted more in Christ, and I get along with everybody, and I pray more focused. It's awesome. That Josh, I tell you. But even listening to sermons doesn't fix it. Hearing it and knowing it doesn't fix it. Putting it into practice is what fixes it, and putting the effort in to sustain it is what makes it better. And so as we grow in thankfulness, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen on the couch. It doesn't happen as an observer. Thankfulness is developed when and only when we consistently exercise our faith. This is how we grow in thankfulness. Let me pray for us.